Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. All morning. This is this promo or this trailer from Irish Wish. Until one wish changes. Paul Kennedy. Set in Ireland, starring Lindsay Lohan. I heard Dirren on 2FM saying she thought it was absolutely awful. I heard Shane Coleman on News Talk saying it was worse than awful. I heard Ciara Kelly on News Talk defending it. And I'd like to defend it a bit as well, because on a number of fronts, one, it's made totally, completely, absolutely in Ireland. Even the New York scene set in Manhattan are, wait for it, set in Temple Bar, and it works with the yellow taxis. It's set in Westport, and down the road from Westport is the Cliffs of Moher, as Lindsay Lohan keeps calling it, said the Cliffs of Moher. Now, we know they're not down the road from Westport, but that works. And then a lot of it shot in the wonderful Kilruthery House. I wonder how they get on. Maybe we can ring them and see, are they happy with it? I'd say they are. Kilruthery House there, just outside Bray. A lot of the outdoor scenes are also shot in Powerscourt. Ireland looks absolutely stunningly fantastic. The only, the main complaint I have against it is that there's only one Irish actor in it, and that's the wonderful Dawn Bradfield, and she has the job of playing the person, St. Bridget, who you make the wish to. And she's in it quite a bit, and as per usual, she's absolutely brilliant. But why only one Irish actor? Even the Irish author in it, a fella called Paul Kennedy, who's a dreadful old cad. A dreadful cad. He's played by someone else. The main love interest is played by some guy from Bristol. And he was in Downton Abbey and loads of other things. But I think people have been really unfair about Irish Wish. It was made here. I presume they spent money here. I presume Knock International Airport, which features an awful lot in it. And I think doubles up at one stage as Des Moines Airport in the States. I presume they'd have something to say about it being so positive. And okay, everyone jumped on, all the reviewers. So I see the Examiner, with the exception of the Examiner that gave it 3 stars, all the reviewers wheeled out their old Irish cliches and had a good old smack at it. But I think that's a little bit unfair. I think the unfairness is, if there is an unfairness, where are all the Irish actors? We had all the Irish locations. I presume they spent money here. I presume they spent lots of money on extras. But if you worked on Irish Wish and you want to defend it, well, this is your home today. My wish is that you would ring Liveline on 0818 715 815. Or if you've seen it, because it's on Netflix and you pay so much for Netflix, I hope you watched it, because it's one of the few things that's on Netflix. And by the way, people going on this morning about giving out about Irish Wish, have you seen that lunatic film, The Beekeeper, with Jason Statham, that Roy Keane said was one of his favourite movies ever? It must have cost a zillion times what Irish Wish, a dreadful, dreadful movie. I think that's on Prime or something. Now, an Irish Wish from Mark Fearon. Mark, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
What's your wish, you fool? You've let yourself down. You've let everyone down. What happened, Mark?
On Saturday night, on the way home from town, with my partner Orla, we left our engagement ring, or her engagement ring, in the back of a taxi. Okay. And we've no sight of it since.
Okay, what is it? Was it in a box, a bag? Was it loose?
It was loose. Orla's finger. And in our wisdom, we decided that, look, let's take it off just in case it fell off, and we'll put it safely into my wallet. But I didn't put it in that safely, and when we noticed that it was missing from the wallet, we knew that there was only one place it could be, and that was in the back of the taxi.
And do you reckon it's after slipping? See, this is a problem. The last time we found something was a fiddle. Now, I know it was 2 months since the violin went missing and the caller tried everything that we're told is the word now, Twitter, Facebook, Insta, TikTok, Nick Knock, whatever you call them, Nick Knock, Paddy Whack. Yeah. They tried everything. Everything, I got nowhere. But then Liveline, we found it within 10 minutes. But it was a fiddle. It is big. You think this engagement ring might be down the back of the couch and down the back of the back seat in the taxi.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think it came out when I was taking out my my wallet to pay for the taxi, so it would have just come loose whilst I was sitting in the back. We did check extensively outside the area of our house where we would have stepped out of the taxi, but with all the neighbours, everybody helping.
Okay, Mark, give us all the forensics, the time, the make of the car, anything you know about it. I know you paid in cash. Where was the pickup? Where was the delivery? Go ahead.
Yeah, we were picked up at midnight on Saturday night. It's Eddie Rocket on Baggot Street.
Okay.
And we travelled then to Fir House, to our house, and arrived at 12:21, because I know their security camera went off then.
Okay.
We paid in cash, as you mentioned, and make it the car, I'm unsure of. But it was a standard kind of saloon taxi, maybe a Toyota Corolla, something along those lines. It was a silvery blue colour, I think, but it was definitely a silvery kind of like a metallic colour, a light colour. But again, it was dark. I'm just thinking that's the colour which it was.
Okay, what do we know about the driver? What do we know about what you were talking about? So he or she might remember. Tell us about the driver, first of all.
It's right. I'm going to be honest. It was a long day. We were out watching the rugby, and then we were actually having our engagement drinks celebrations, and we had all our friends joining us. So by that stage of the evening, I'm not 100% sure exactly what our conversations were with the taxi driver.
Can you remember anything about him? Was it male, female?
It was a male. It was a male.
Age group.
I'd say between 40 and 50. There was a screen. I'm almost certain that there was a screen in the taxi, separating us from the driver. I'm almost certain of that fact.
Okay. First of all, can I ask our forensic listeners who are good at this to I've just reposted it on Twitter at Joe Liveline. From your tweet showing the photograph from your doorbell of the taxi. Now, I guarantee there are people out there who can identify that car. It's not a Toyota Corolla. Who can identify that car by the measurements in it, the length of the boot compared to the length of the door, the hub arches, the hub caps and the arches, etc. It is a silver car. I think it looks more... I know I'm brutal at this. I think it looks, I don't think it's a Toyota Corolla. It looks like it's a male in the front. And you say there was a screen, so there was no conversation.
There wasn't a whole lot. We'd been out enjoying the rugby. It'd been a long day. So, we were more just kind of chatting between ourselves and trying to keep that ring safe. Just forever ago, why did we take it off? Orla's finger, that was the safest place to leave it, but yeah.
Okay, Mark, we've phoned the 6 or 8, there's 8 designated Garda stations in Dublin. 4 of them were very cooperative, and which is their job. They are the designated. 2 of them, I'll find out who they are in a few minutes. 2 of them told us to ring the Garda press office, which is apparently one of them was Finglas, no response from Finglas. Shankill, they looked and don't have it. Thank you, Shankill. Irish Town, they looked and don't have it. Tally, apparently you were on to them with your closest. They don't have it. We can't get a response from Finglas, which I was under the impression from previous dealings is one of the biggest drop-off points for taxi drivers if they find anything. But what we need is that taxi driver to climb into the back and start routing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and is it a new ring, an old ring, a diamond, sentimental?
It's a new engagement ring. The diamond was actually a gift from my mum. to me, and then I got the ring made. I got the ring made in town then, and we got it resized, and we had it 2 days, and that's as long as we've had that ring. Yeah.
And have you set a day for the wedding?
No, not yet. We're just devastated that it's happened. We're just so annoyed with ourselves for letting it happen. We're just so upset by it, and we're blown away by the support. Like, I actually can't get over the support we're receiving on.
But it's not support we need, it's the ring.
No.
Give us a ring. Yeah. I say it every day in life. Yeah. Give us a ring. But in this case, I want you to give us the engagement ring that Mark Fearon lost, that has a great sentimental value. If there's an engagement ring, you did propose.
Oh, it did, yeah.
When did you propose?
I proposed the last week of February. I was over in Spain, actually, and proposed to her on the beach.
What beach?
In Estepona.
Oh, yeah, make us all jealous. And did you say to her?
To be honest, I'd actually got the engagement ring, would you believe, made back in August. And I've been looking for the perfect time since August to propose. I've brought that ring around the island of Inishere, the Aran Islands. I've brought it to Italy. I brought it into Dublin City Centre, and it's come back with me each time because it just, for one reason or another, I didn't actually make do the proposal.
So what jumped out at Estepona?
Just that I can't bring it to another country and not propose. That it's a very well traveled ring.
Very good. Okay.
But also it was great. My two kids were there. It was actually perfect. Where I've been holding out for this perfect kind of time, it would be just myself and Orla. It was actually absolutely perfect having my two young kids there, and some of my other family as well. It was perfect.
But did Orla say yes immediately?
She did. She did. Yeah, no, she did. She didn't see it coming. I mean, she's been hinting for a while.
This is the ring. This is the ring that was beside her through Inishere, all around Ireland, out to the Aran Islands, off to Italy and beyond, and eventually followed her to Spain, and she didn't see it coming. Unfortunately, Orla, you didn't see it going either. It's a long. I think it's because of its size. But if anyone is aware, what was this thing you were saying earlier? Your mum's ring was stolen.
Yeah, just another bad twist of whatever. It was a week before I proposed, my mum's engagement ring was stolen from their home. Yeah, and they were 50 years married there last year. So, that was really, really tough. A real bad run.
Okay. Yeah. We put it out there, Mark. It was Saturday night. The pick-up point was Eddie Rockets in Bagot Street in Dublin. The drop-off point at 12:15, just after midnight, Saturday night / Sunday morning, was in where? Fairhouse in Tallaght. The driver was on the silver car. If anyone has identified that car from that photograph I tweeted, that Joe Lideline, please let me know, because I think if anyone knows anything about cars, they will be able to garage a mechanic. Come on, lads, lassies, get together, get on Twitter, have a look. The boss will give you 5 minutes of a break to try and identify the make of the car, at least. That will help us narrow it down. There is a sign on the side of the car. I presume that's, it doesn't look like Free Now, but I'm trying to work out, you don't know what the sign is on the side of the car, is a Bolt or something? I don't know what logo was on it. Okay, and you paid.
I'm not sure.
And you paid in cash.
I did. Yeah.
And what was within? How much did you hand over? That might help.
Oh,
40, 50.
It would have been a 50. The fare probably would have been. It was. I think 50, the fare was about €30.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, we'll do our best, do our absolute best. The Irish wish, hopefully it comes true for you today. That's Mark Fearon, and kind regards and best wishes to yourself and Orla. And Cody, you went to see, oh, you don't have to, you sit in your couch. By the way, Irish Wish is now number one on Netflix. Tell us.
Oh, really?
Yes, Anne. When did you watch it?
We watched it last night.
And what did
we
you...
We really loved it, yeah.
Oh, are you serious? Well, all the commentators in Irish media and all the critics hate it.
Oh, well, now these commentators don't always know what they're talking about. It was lovely, Joe, because there was no swearing. It was just... The scenery was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Another part of Ireland that I haven't actually seen. I just thought the storyline was lovely, because we often wish for things that aren't meant for us. I know the characters were a bit cheesy and all of that, but it was a nice family film, I thought.
And what about
my daughter thought as well.
What about the Irish accents?
Yeah, well, you can't change that, because these things are happening now and actors are trying to do different accents. Well, they don't always do that great a job, but I thought the film was good.
The main complaint seemed to be that Lindsay Lohan kept saying the Cliffs of Moher rather than the Cliffs of Moher. But I thought she was brilliant in it.
I did too. And we really enjoyed it.
Apparently she produced it. She brought it to Ireland.
Yeah.
And did you spot Anne Cody, did you spot that the New York scenes were shot in Temple Bar?
No.
You see?
But we had checked where all the scenery was, because we like to know. It's a bit like, the film was really a bit like... there's another film where she goes off to find... She's going to do the proposal on New Year's Eve. The proposal, I think. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a bit like that film, really.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you find now a lot of the films that are being made are like films that have been made before.
Okay.
You know, it was a little bit like that. But, you know, as I say, it was something we really enjoyed and we thought was very pleasant. And it was worth watching.
It got two.
And I think it's worth watching as a family as well. You know, it's not something you wouldn't not show your children. Like half the stuff that's on now, you wouldn't let your kids see it.
Tara Brady in the Irish Times gave it 2 stars. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. Banel and Adama, a movie from I don't know where it's from, subtitled. That got 4 stars in the Irish Times. And then Monster got from director Hirokazu Koreeda. That got 4 stars. But Poor Irish Wish, directed by Janine Damien, got 2 stars. And they say at the end, cartoonishly colourful cinematography, lovely alliteration there, brings emerald-tinged sparkle to Kilruddery House. Did you know it was Kilruddery House? It looked fantastic. Loch Tay, which is down in Wicklow, which is, I don't know if there is a wishing chair near Loch Tay.
No, I know. I wouldn't have minded going and sitting on it.
Yeah, same here.
It looked lovely.
What would you wish for, Anne?
Oh, I don't know. Good health, I suppose.
Yeah,
and
well done.
The kids
well
are
done.
All right.
Yeah, have your priorities. Yeah. You have your priorities. Yeah. Everyone else would say the lotto numbers for Wednesday.
But you have nothing if you don't have your health.
Here.
Your children and family are okay and your friends.
What else says Tara Brady? It's ? It's professionally assembled ? Well, most movies are. Everyone has nice hair. That's it.
Well, look, Joe, all I can say is that we really enjoyed it. And even when it finished, we both said at the same time, that was really a nice film.
Yeah, and it was all, what I liked about it was all colourful. I'd love to know who the florist was, Anne.
Yes.
Supplying the flowers. They did well, hopefully.
They were beautiful.
Stay with us, Anne. Remember, okay, Catherine Bourne. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, I was wrong. There's more than the great Don Bradley Irish born in it.
Yeah, no, my brother Morris Byrne, he plays Sean Kennedy, the father-in-law.
Ah.
In it. And he's very much an Irish man. He grew up in Dublin here.
And where's Morris based?
He's now based in London, but he went over to London in his 20s, or he went to Brussels originally in his 20s. But he's very much grew up in Dublin,
is that why I didn't? And there was no issue with his accent, I can tell you that. There was a couple of accents that were dodgy, but not the father-in-law. Has he spoken to you about it was made in Ireland, so I presume he was here.
No, he would have been over here. He would have been over here for all the, you know, producing the movie and that. He comes over and back a lot.
And he's good. Now, is he plays an older man, but is he as old as that? Do you follow me?
No, I think they actually put a couple of years on him. They put a couple of years on him, all right. He'd be younger than that. I don't know if he likes me saying his age on air, but he'd be younger than that. They added maybe 10 years onto him or that.
And in that database, now I hope I'm right, IMDb, you know that database, it says, now you can check me, Catherine, because you're his sister. Yeah. Morris was born in Dublin, but spent his formative years in Northern Ireland, in the town of Dungannon. Yeah. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. He's older than me, so he would be probably around 10 when he moved up to Dublin. Yeah, we lived in Dungannon.
And why did the family move to Dungannon?
Well, my father was originally from Cole Island in Northern Ireland, and my mother was from Donegal.
Oh, very good. Now, I'm reading. I'm sorry, Catherine. I know more about you now than you probably. I now know before moving with the family, then moved back to Dublin when Morris was 10. Were you born at that stage, Catherine?
I was. I would have been around 3.
And Catherine was 3. Having received a secondary education from the Jesuits at Gonzaga College in Dublin, is that correct?
And
after a year learning French at the University of Grenoble, c'est vrai? Is that true?
He's a fluent French speaker as well, actually.
And why did he go to Grenoble to do French?
Well, he only went there for around a year, and then he came back and he studied law in UCD. And then he went to Brussels and worked as a solicitor for years, and then he went into acting. A little later, he did a master's in Shakespearean acting.
Wow! Wait for this.
Yeah.
Morris Bourne, who plays the father, and he's a big part in it. He's in it a lot.
He does. Yes. He's in a lot of scenes in it. Okay. Yeah, he does. He's
Morris Bourne plays the part. I'm speaking to Catherine, his sister, who's also his. Are you his agent, Catherine? No.
No, I'm not his agent.
I don't think he needs him. Wait for this. He spent 20 years. Practicing European trade and competition antitrust law in Brussels, during which time he founded a law firm, Bourne and Associates, before it emerged with an international law firm based in the USA. After 7 years as a partner, Morris decided it was time to seek his true calling and head for pastures new. He accepted a place at the Central School of Speech and Drama. I presume that's in London, and the rest is history. What age was he when he took up, acting?
He was probably around 40.
Wow.
But
that's the age most people give up on acting.
Yeah, well, no, but he acted in a lot of amateur theatre beforehand. He was even, like, many years ago in Gonzaga, he was in a central part in Silas Marner.
Okay.
They did the school play. And then in Brussels, he did a lot of amateur acting, but they were, like, they were really good productions. Mm-hmm. They went along to a few. He loved acting all along.
Look at the CV now. Morris initially indulged his love of Shakespeare and appeared in Twelfth Night, Romeo and Juliet, The Tempest, Hamlet and Henry V, among others. But he was eventually drawn to the screen. Recent and upcoming television includes the Italian crime series Gomorrah and Angel of Darkness, a sequel to the acclaimed Alienist on Netflix, that's Angel of Darkness. Recent film credits include Destination Dewsbury, The Right Bus and The Loss Adjuster, where Morris plays an English vicar.
Yeah.
Perhaps the Jesuits are having the last laugh.
Well, in this one, he plays the father, or the grandfather, father.
Yeah, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was really enjoyable. Yeah. It's light-hearted, but it was like lovely to watch, and lovely scenery and lovely clothes. And I thought Lindsay Lohan was bright and bubbly. And
And she's
a nice kind of family kind of setting and that as well. Yeah.
And Lindsay Lohan has been through the mill, hasn't she?
Yeah, I was reading up a bit about
so
her.
Was I.
Yeah, she's come out the other end, obviously.
But Lindsay Lohan.
She looks great.
who's at the top of her game now. Now by the way, she's in the business since she was three or something. Your Morris didn't start till he was professional until he was 40.
Yeah, he does a bit of amateur now.
I know that, but I understand that. But that is some.
She kind of peaked. She peaked in Mean Girls, didn't she? She was brilliant in Mean Girls.
Yeah, but that's an incredible. For Morris to change career at 40, from being an antitrust lawyer running a legal firm in Brussels to being an actor.
I know, Fair Houston. You can get Houston. Him on sometime if you like.
Yeah, we can. maybe in a few seconds when we talk to you, maybe we'll give you our number, and we're not allowed to ask you for his number. We'll and see, does he want to come on? We'd love him to come on. He's in London at the minute, is he?
He's in London. So what number will I tell him to ring you on?
Shane will talk to you now just in a sec. Now, Catherine. Can I ask you, what do you think of the reviews? The reviews, so many reviews. Well, I told you, they're in on 2FM, and she's a big influencer. Yeah. She'd know. Shane Coleman thought it was awful. Ciara Kelly defended it. I'm defending it.
It says something that everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, but that's because it's on Netflix and it was out Patrick's Weekend.
Yeah, and it's number one on Netflix. So, you know, people are noticing it.
Have you any thespian ambitions yourself, Catherine? There's still time, obviously, given the timeline and the chronology of Morris's career.
Well, I particularly like the clothes because I'm in the clothing business myself. Ah. I have a shop in Ranelagh, Anastasia, in Ranelagh.
That's your shop?
That's my shop.
Oh, well done.
And Morris has helped me out in different ways with this as well, in fairness.
Who does?
Morris has helped me out in different ways with this, and just in business advice and that, fairness.
So yeah, I thought you were going to tell me
he's a good brain in him as well. He's a good brain.
Has he? Yeah. Wow.
As well. Yeah, he does.
And he looks like he's a male model.
Yeah, he's good looking. He's a good looking guy. All right.
And I'm sure all the family are. Catherine, well done. That's Catherine Bourne of Anastasia's in Ranelagh. But the sister of Morris Bourne, who plays the father-in-law, his name is Kennedy. I don't know. I can't remember his first name in the movie because Paul Kennedy is the writer in The Irish Wish, which is on at the minute. It's getting slated by the critics, but liked by the punters. Okay, Catherine, you stay on the line and Shane will talk to you. Joe at RTE, thanks a million. Joe at RTE.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Where is Dave? Dave is there on WhatsApp, apparently. Dave, our detective. Dave, good afternoon.
I'm no detective, Joe. I'm no detective.
Okay, but you think you've identified the make of the taxi through the photograph, the grainy photograph. Tell us.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Toyota Revenza is 161 or 171 silver. And I'd say it is free now, by the way, yeah?
It's
free now.
It's Toyota Avensis. And why do you say it's only a side shot I posted on Joe Liveline, at Joe Liveline. It's a taxi that dropped a couple home where they dropped the engagement ring down the back of the back seat. How do you know it's a 161?
I just kind of know about the model that it is, you know. I just kind of know about that. But as well as that, I think it is free now because it has a sticker coming down the side of it there behind the square sticker, which is a free now kind of thing, you know. Comes from the boot down.
Okay, and so. Now, just as a matter of interest, can Free Now contact every driver that they are? Don't have thousands, unfortunately.
They can, of course, yeah, if they want to. They normally don't want to talk to their drivers, but that's another story.
But you think it's free now? I thought, how can you work out? It's the Toyota Avensis. It's the distance between the wheels, the shape of the...
It's just the shape. It's the shape of the wings on the front of it, the shape of the doors and the bar panel and the lights on the back of it. You know, it's just a few little things, you know.
Well done, well done. Would you find Shergar for us while you're at it?
I've been looking for Shergar for a while. Do you know what, Joe? I think I have Shergar sitting beside me. Say hello to Linda. Hello. Hey,
Linda, you're sitting with a joker. You're sitting with a joker. Okay, David, well done.
We're on our way to do the school run here.
Oh, good lad, good lad. Mind yourself, and regards to Linda. Okay, it's a Toyota Avensis. It's 161, Dave reckons, from that grainy photograph. And he thinks it is the Freenow logo on the side. It doesn't. It gets us a little bit further down the road, so to speak. But it gets us moving. Anyway, Dave, good to meet you, Margaret. Margaret Marr. Margaret, good afternoon. Margaret. Hello. Margaret.
Hi.
How are you? How are you today?
How am I today? Yeah. Oh, a bit down.
Why?
Ah, just...
Well, you know what you told us on Friday?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's listen back to what you told me on Friday, because you had a whole nation on tenterhooks.
When your dad retired from the job, did he lose the house in Merrion Square?
No, it's... my story is a bit morbid. It's not for this programme that's supposed to be a bit cheerful. But I'll ring you sometime and tell you. I'd have you in tears, Joe, if I told you the story.
Will you talk to me on Tuesday? Will you talk to me on Tuesday about that other story? Okay.
If I was stopped once, I was stopped 100 times, people saying, what is it with Margaret? It's, you swear you had a third secret
You're
of Fatima.
Very nosy.
What? They are very... Tell us, Margaret. And it is a sad story. I'm sorry to read to. Tell us what...
You know the man that was on and he thought he knew me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he didn't know me, but he did know that the monument of the Duke of Rutland monument in the front, and behind that monument was the house.
Yeah, in Merrion Square, which was a private square at the time, yes.
I was wondering, would he have a photograph of the house?
Okay, but tell me of the sadness that you were referring to on Friday, but you didn't want to tell us on Friday because it was a light-hearted programme. There's an awful sadness from the house.
Well, it was July the 24th, 1937.
Okay.
Everything was grand. It was a lovely day.
Yeah.
The workers was out walking. My father had a day off. He was getting ready to go to a football match.
Okay.
And one of the workers came over to tell him that the roller wouldn't move. You know them rollers in the old days?
Yeah, for rolling out the grass.
Exactly.
Big, big, heavy.
Big one, yeah.
Heavy, had to be heavy for
had
the workers
to be heavy.
Too. And it was pushed.
So one of the workers came over to the lodge to tell him they couldn't push it or couldn't move it. So he came out and he brought me by the hand, bring me over just for the walk.
Yeah.
And they were pushing and pushing and pushing it. So eventually... He just collapsed, you know.
Oh, God. Your father?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being the joker he was always joking. One of the men, you know, they all got a shock. One of the men ran over to my mother and said, quick, Patrick, that's a faint. And he gives a drink of water.
Yeah.
She said, he's always caught like that. But he wasn't. So when he went over, he was dead.
Oh, my God.
So anyone that's pushing cars is very dangerous.
Well, I'm thinking of people getting out now for after Patrick's Day, doing the garden and the out with the lawnmower and the rollers. Now, would you be absolutely careful? I'd be very careful. And then people on these ride-on lawnmowers.
Really
now, so Margaret,
careful,
you were three.
Yes.
And did you were there? Do you remember?
Yes.
Do you remember it?
No, because I tell you what, my mother waited until we were older, you know, to tell us the story and all, you know.
And where did you think your dad had gone, Margaret?
I don't know. One of the workers probably brought me back to the house, you know.
Okay. And have you any memories of your father?
No.
Oh, God.
He was only 28.
Good God.
28.
And he took you by the hand. It was his day off. The lads were in Merrion Square, walking away. It was a private square. You lived in the... They said, give us a hand. What was your dad's first name? Do you remember?
Patrick.
Paddy.
You know,
come over.
Paddy.
Yeah, give
Paddy
us a hand. Paddy goes over and he brings you with him.
Yeah.
You're three, you're the baby, he's probably my... And he starts pushing and then he falls to the ground.
Yeah.
And then your mother thinks he's acting the idiot again.
Yeah.
And... What? I didn't know you so... I when I asked you about living in the lodge in Merrion Square...
You asked me when about his retirement.
Yeah, his retirement at 27.
Yeah,
and what happened, if it was his job, he was a gardener in Merrion Square, and with that came the lodge.
Yeah.
What happened to your mother and you afterwards?
Well, my mother was left there. She had two of us, and she was expecting our third baby.
Oh, my goodness.
And he died in July, and my brother was born in November. And they left her in the lodge all over the winter.
Oh, very
the Christmas.
Good.
Ah. And you know what it'd be like in a place like that in the winter? The trees blown and all. But anyway, she got over that. So it was a long time after the Christmas, they wanted to house her somewhere, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And Lark Hill was getting built at the time.
Out near Whitehall,
Oh, they thought it was lovely.
Yeah.
But she couldn't go to Lark Hill. Yeah. Lark Hill was really out in the country, Joe.
I know.
At the time. So she said she couldn't go to the Lark Hill because she had three children. So she decided she had to go and live in Pierce House, where our mother and father was.
Okay.
Because our mother and father looked after us while she went to work.
Okay. So, and where did your poor mother end up working?
She worked in the school at the College of Art up in Kildare Street.
Yeah, because it's moved now up to Thomas Street, but it was there at the side of Dáil Éireann. Yeah, it's gone.
It's moved, yeah.
That's gone. It's moved 40 years, Margaret.
And she was there for 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. And did she like looking at, well, being with all the artists and the painters?
Oh, she loved being with them, because they used to joke. One time she went to them and said, I hope you know that the bell went. And the student said, all spread out, Mrs. Shields lost her bell.
Mrs. Shields, he used to call her.
Yeah, lost her bell.
Okay, and the other thing, you don't have a photograph of that house?
No, I only have the one you have there now with my mother and father at the hall door.
Okay.
Well, the door.
Now, what's the tragedy in your family with the ship?
Oh, his father was on the Queen Mary, the Queen Mary, and he worked as a stoker.
Okay.
And he was off for a week, and they rang him to ask him, would he not come on? They were short. Mm-hmm. And he went back on the ship, and it was torpedoed, so he was drowned at sea.
Oh, my God.
And they wanted to take my father when he's 20 and put him into college and all, you know, put him through college and all. But my grandmother wouldn't let him go because he was too young, you know.
And what age was your grandfather when he died?
Oh, I think he was in his late 40s, mind you.
So he died young as well when he was on the ship.
Yeah.
And what age was your father when he lost his father?
About 8 or 9.
Ah, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So he was 8 when his father died.
Yeah.
And you were 3 when he died.
Coming on 3, yeah. Yeah.
And he was due to be off. He wasn't due to be in work.
Who did? My father.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was off.
No, but I know your father was off as well, and then he gave the lads a handout.
Yeah.
And then his father himself was off work, but he's called back into work, and he was
off for a week, Joe. And he called them back during the week, you know. So now, as the saying is, when your time is up.
Time is up. It's still very young. So you're looking, among other things, you're looking for a photograph of the lodge in Merrion Square before it was demolished.
Yeah, the full house.
Because is that where you lived there till what, you were 3 or 4? Were you born in the lodge or were you born across the road in
Hollis Street?
It was only across the field.
Hollis Street. It's only across the road.
Yeah, didn't have far to bring you home, so to speak, just through the gate. That's a very sad story.
At the lodge, at that memorial, they had a gate. Now, it was only a slim gate where we all used going in.
Yeah.
You know, my father and mother used that slim gate going in. But it's closed up now.
And did your, can I ask you this? Did Mrs. Shields, Margaret, ever remarry your mother?
No.
Well, she was widowed in her 20s.
Yeah, 24 or 5, one or the other, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And you got married because you referred to your chap here on Friday, didn't you?
Yeah, we will be 89 this year.
And how many years are you married?
66 years this year.
And what age when you met him?
13.
So
I had plaits in my hair.
So you knew, you've known your and Jimmy is still with us, isn't he? Please tell
he's
us.
He's with us, oh yeah.
Oh, thank God, there's my prayers around.
He worked in Irish Biscuits.
Jacobs.
And he worked in there for 48 years.
Brilliant. And never a day sick, I bet you.
He was, no, people would say, oh no, but I'm telling you, ask anybody, he was never ever sick.
And you met him 76 years ago.
Well, no, on and off then.
I know. Yeah, you strung him along for a while.
Yeah, from the 13 till what? To 13 years of age, or 16 or 17, and you know.
Yeah, on and off. I know. And then what year? What year did you marry him? What age were you when you married him?
22 and a half.
And a half. The half is important.
How we were together so long after, we always swam. We loved swimming.
Great.
And we always went down to Tara Street Baths.
To the baths. But the baths, remember, in Tara Street, people don't remember this. There was boys' baths and girls' baths. You weren't allowed to swim together, Margaret.
No, you weren't allowed.
Unbelievable. Two separate pools.
We used to go down every evening after work.
Okay. And then your mother, your mother just missed the Talbot Street bombing in 9th May to 1974.
Oh my God, that was, I don't know. You wouldn't believe it, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Wouldn't believe it.
Okay, we'll try and get a photograph of... We'll try and get a photograph of the lodge. I think the Gilbert Library, Dublin City Council, if anyone's listening at the Gilbert Library in Pierce Street in Dublin, they have an incredible photographic archive. Is there any photograph? Mm-hmm. See, the problem was it was a private park and you couldn't walk through it, so it would have to be someone in there. Okay, Margaret, look after yourself. I'm sorry you're a bit down today. Please, God, now you'll pick up because the weather is picking up. The days are getting longer.
Yeah.
Sunday, week Easter Sunday, the clocks are...
Oh, Joe.
What?
Yeah, am I delaying you?
No, go on.
I just wanted to ask you something.
Yeah,
do you know the way people write down things they want to do before they die?
Yeah, go on.
Well, there was one thing I wanted to do, was always go up to Grafton Street on New Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Up to your show
Of course. You're coming, Margaret. You're coming this Christmas
Eve. And I never could get up.
Ah, will you stop? You're coming this year, and not only are you coming, you won't be in the crowd where people can be a bit busy. We're going to bring you in, and I'm going to bring you into the Bailey pub. We're there from about 6:30 in the morning.
Oh,
the crew. And we're going to bring you in.
If I'm here.
You will be here. And if I'm here, Margaret, the two of us are here. Please, God.
Know,
yeah.
I hope I'm here.
So you want to come.
Love that.
Okay.
Because there's so many years. How long is that going?
It's going. This will be its 50th year, believe it or not.
No way.
Gayborne started it in 1974, I reckon.
All that time I wanted to go over.
Well, then you're coming this year. It's early yet now.
Brendan O'Carroll.
Brendan O'Carroll. You love Brendan O'Carroll, don't you? You love Brendan.
Phil Fox.
Fred, you love the... Yeah, Sil. Of course he is. Sil is brilliant.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in...
Oh, Phil Fox was great.
Sil is in his early 60s. Well, he was born in the early 60s, the 80s.
I look forward to that.
Okay, that's
great.
Life. That's done. I have that on my list here now. Margaret to be picked up by a taxi at 6:45. From where you live, Finglas, isn't it? Where are you living?
No, Santry.
Santry. Okay, that's done, Margaret.
You're very good.
I look forward
to seeing you.
Mind yourself, darling. Okay, that's Margaret Marr. Love you, Margaret, and Jimmy. the 73 years ago she met Jimmy. It was not unbelievable. They're still together. Joe at rt.e51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie, Brendan O'Connell is in New Brunswick. In New Jersey, Simon Harris, the Minister for Higher Education, Norma Foley, the Minister for Education, and they were with Panty Bliss representing Ireland in London at the weekend, and one at the Patrick's Day event. And then one of the photo shoots was for Simon Harris appealing, he was on a building site in London, appealing to the workers, the construction workers, to come home. Now, one of them who wanted to come home was from the other side of the pond, Brendan O'Connell. Brendan, you were home recently and you looked up a few prices and you got a land, as the fella said.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. Tell us what happened.
I was back in Ireland for about 6 weeks. And while I was there, Simon Harris, I think, and the head of the CIF, were looking to get construction workers that had left Ireland to come back and help rebuild Ireland. So when I was there, I just checked out to see how much would car insurance cost.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up would have cost me like €2,750 to insure a car.
Nearly
that
three,
would be third party.
Wouldn't even be comprehensive. Nearly 3,000.
No, nearly 3,000. Yeah, which is crazy.
And what were you hoping for? Well, first of all,
I've heard maybe half that.
Yeah, but also I've heard, it's I don't know what the deal is with the UK now and Brexit, but it can be very hard to find an insurance company when you come back. Isn't that true?
That is true. The guy who was looking for me, he said there was 15 agencies and only one would hire me. Now, I've been driving since since I was 8 years of age, between tractors and whatever, but I have a full Irish license since 95, a full American license since 86.
Wow.
I've been driving in Australia, States, England, but I just can't believe the quote I got.
Okay, well then, did want to start ironing out a few things like that after encouraging people to come back. What about, did you look at accommodation when you were here, Brendan, or is there any prospect of that?
Oh, forget about that. You might as well bring a tent with you and a sleeping bag.
Why?
If you're coming back. No, I do have a property there, so it's in need of renovation right now, but I mean, that's something I can fix myself.
And do you think you could? Well, have you planted or... Have you planted an idea? Are you just looking at a need of renovation, or are you thinking of doing something about it?
Well, I was home for 6 weeks. I was renovating it, so I do have more work to do on it. I mean, there's probably another 2 months' work just to bring it up to, habitable for me anyway.
And so but where is the house?
Oh, it's in County Clare.
Oh, yes. Yeah. By the way, why did you leave Ireland, Brendan?
Well, I went back in 2013 because the economy wasn't great back then.
Yeah.
And if you remember, between 2008 and basically, I guess, 2013, they were having all these expos to go to Canada or to go to Australia or to go to I think Dubai and in places for work. So I just came back to the States like a bunch of people I know, because they had the green card, so they decided to come back. And I'm still here. I only planned on coming back for 6 years, but I ended up staying here longer than I figured.
And you say, I used to have a company at home in Clare. Is that true? And I had apprentices, but I wouldn't do that again. Why?
Yes. No, I wouldn't do that again. That was too stressful.
Yeah. Okay.
I just stay small.
Yeah. So they're And what was stressful about it? Running apprentices or where there's terrible, sorry, there's difficult challenges for apprentices here. Getting off to off-site training in colleges is just a nightmare for a lot of them at the minute. They're waiting year, 2 years, 2.5 years to get their 12 weeks. And, you know, if you don't get your 12 weeks in college, you can't move on to the next level. But anyway, so you say overall you won't be coming back in the short term.
Not in the short term. I mean, I would like to eventually, I mean, the government has to have some kind of an incentive for people to come back. You just can't ask them to come back. You got to have, you know, some
okay
grow for them to come back.
Here. Okay, Brendan, that's Brendan O'Connell in New Brunswick in New Jersey. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie and 512. Back to the Irish Wish, Fionnuala Moran's contact. Fionnuala, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. Are you aware of the review in the Irish Independent said Lindsay Lohan's bonkers Shamrocks? Turn off that radio in the background if there's one on.
It's gone there now. Sorry,
good stuff,
Joe.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan's bonkers Shamrock Circus is a frothy, frivolous oddity. What did you think of it?
I think people who go into movies like this expecting to get some massive, big spectacle of film are being absolutely stupid going in expecting that. It's of the brainless kind of popcorn, lovely, relaxing genre space. It's meant to be an enjoyable watch. You're meant to come away from it knowing your emotional stability will be intact, knowing it's going to be a nice, happy story, no mad twist, no nothing like that. It gave us exactly that with a few laughs in between, a little bit of entertainment, art looking absolutely beautiful. So I don't see what the big fuss is.
Well, the big fuss is people like Dirren, who people love and know from Dancing with the Stars, and well done to Jason Smith for winning it. Sunday night, she thought it was awful. Shane Coleman on News Talk thought it was awful. The reviews, I read out the review from the Indo, the Irish Independent, the Irish Times lashed it as well, and the Sunday Independent. Wait for this. Review by Chris Wasser, who reviews on Arena, maybe give us his review here, but he says, Begara and Bejesus, sorry for the language, a Shamrock Circus. They say it's, I'm trying to paraphrase now, it's just been handed this, the main character is an obnoxious twit. It's silly, rarely entertaining, well-intentioned, but riddled with dusty stereotypes. The problem is the joke is never as funny as it needs to be, and Lindsay Lohan, once an accomplished talent with tremendous comic chops, appears to have forgotten how to act. Chemistry and charm are in short supply, and this frothy, frivolous oddity seems purposely designed to be watched in the background while you're doing something else. Speak freely, Fionnuala. Were you doing something else at the time as you were watching it?
I actually wasn't, but you know what? That is a growing thing in film, that it is kind of your second screen watching, and there is very much bang in that office. But it doesn't make it a bad movie. Very, very enjoyable. Celebration of Ireland. My only thing is, I will say, I think it'll start a little bit of a civil war between Mayo and Wicklow, because they've gotten all the credit over in Mayo for the beautiful scenery, but half it's set in Wicklow, and not even in the credits did we get thanked.
Well, I say I liked
Mayo,
it.
Morris, everyone else.
Morris Byrne, say there, Fionnuala. Morris, good afternoon, Morris.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you
good
keeping?
Good afternoon, how are you keeping? I'm keeping very well, thank you.
Impervious
to all this criticism the movie.
Well done, well done. Don't be. And it's Burns, because your sister Catherine was on.
Yeah.
About half an hour ago.
Burns, B-Y-R-N-E, yeah.
Okay. She was on about half an hour ago, and she gave us your life story, Morris. So we know.
Then there's nothing to hear from me.
I'm going
to
say that. Good luck, Morris. Lovely talking to you all. The best.
Great talking to you too.
But the brilliant thing, Morris, was you had such a career. You Dublin, studied French for a year, came back, studied law, UCD, then off to Brussels as a lawyer, then set up your own company. I think you were in law, antitrust law then for 20 years. And then at what age and how did you try and get into full-time acting?
Whoa. Well, you know everything about me, so let me see. I spent about 20 years in Brussels practicing antitrust law, as you say, trade law as well. And then the firm where I was a partner closed the office in Brussels about 20 years ago.
Okay.
And my partner was beside himself with, he couldn't accept it at all. But I thought, this is great. Gives me an opportunity to do what I want to do. So 20 years ago this year, actually 2004, I went to Central School of Speech and Drama, where I studied classical acting, Shakespeare.
And were you the youngest there, Morris?
Oh, and I was the oldest there.
Sorry, my mistake, of course.
Yeah. I was the second oldest. There was one lady who was about 50. I think I was 42, 43
at the time.
But hey, you know, there's, I think I possibly got on the course because of diversity, you know what I mean? Because he was a bit older.
Okay, now, Morris, tell us about Making the Irish Wish. How did you get the part? Had you worked with Lindsay before or the director before? Tell us your story, Morris, and on the Irish Wish.
The story of Irish Wish is very straightforward. Like any other television show or film, I did an audition.
Yeah.
It's all self-tape these days. And I had to kind of make the scene myself for the character that Sean Kennedy was going to be, which is this kind of very rich Irish guy who's self-made, who kind of skates over things which are important. He's not really interested in weddings and stuff like that. If you've seen the movie, he's more interested in who his guests are and talking to them, whose business associates are. So I did a reasonable audition, forgot about it. And then I was down in France, but 3 weeks later, my agent called me and said, by the way, you've got Irish Wish. So I was delighted, very happy about that.
And when was it filmed, Morris? And tell us where.
It was filmed September, October 2022.
Okay.
In Kilruddery. And your previous speaker was talking about the competition between Wicklow and Mayo.
Yes.
So I was only in the Wicklow scenes, all the scenes taking place in Kilruddery, which kind of was my pad, if you like.
Yeah.
And
it was your castle.
It was my castle, absolutely. And all the cars were my cars. All those Lambos and rollers were all my cars.
Yeah, brilliant. And how long did you spend filming in Kilruddery?
A couple of weeks. It was, I'd say, about a 7 or 8 week shoot. I didn't go to the Westport shoot because obviously those scenes didn't involve me.
Yeah.
And I was there for a couple of weeks, basically.
And what was it like? What was Lindsay Lohan, who's a superstar, what was she like to film
with?
She's
a wonderful person. She's great. She's great. And, you know, I understand the film's come in for a fair amount of criticism because it's a little bit, you know, the American perception of Ireland, little bit of that. But, you know, the characters, the actors are Irish. I mean, I'm Irish, obviously. Yeah.
Dawn Bradfield is a brilliant stage actress, And I think she's great. And she has a different, she's an odd part to play. She's St. Bridget, but she's very, very good.
She's brilliant. She's very, very good. And she had the little smile of St. Bridget. I thought she was wonderful.
And that lovely
Jacinta Mulcahy, who played my wife.
Yeah.
Matty McCabe, who played my other son, Corey. I mean, there's a fair amount of Irish representation in the movie. But, you know, Lindsay Lohan's not supposed to be Irish anyway, is she?
Sure, so, not at all.
Or Norris James. So like,
but her son is. Sorry, her putative fiancé, who's Paul Kennedy, your son.
Paul is not Irish, obviously. Yeah.
And
Alex is not Irish.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was he like in real life? Because he was an awful twat.
Lovely fella.
Lovely movie.
he's an awful twat in the movie, but it's called acting.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, well done.
Lovely fella, has done a lot of great stage acting. He's played in Broadway, in Macbeth. He's done some great stuff. So he's a very accomplished actor, as is Ed Spaliers, and they're both wonderful guys. I couldn't fault them in any way. Very, very nice fellas to hang out with, because you spend a lot of time, you know, a lot of time with your fellow actors.
And what time of year did you shoot The Irish Wish, Morris?
It was September, October 2022.
Well, it looks
so it's taken a while to come out. But
it looks magnificent. Was that during COVID, or were you in the...
No,
COVID was kind of the end of it, really.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, 2020 was obviously full lockdown. 2021, yeah, it was 2022 was fine. We didn't even have to do
tests or whatever.
COVID testing every morning, which I'd done on other productions at the time.
Was there a premiere? Because a lot of movies that were made around that time haven't had. Did you have a premiere?
We
that
did,
you,
yeah. This day, 2 weeks ago in New York, we had the premiere.
Oh,
yeah,
there's
absolutely.
Posh.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's
we
posh.
Did. Well, posh, you know, it was a premiere's a premiere like any other. Do you know what I mean?
And your list, there's a list of other projects you have been involved in. Or are you working at the moment, or are you resting, Morris?
I am resting. Okay. I am between jobs right now, but I have a lot to keep me going. I keep busy with other activities.
And what do you do between jobs?
Well, would you believe I still do a wee bit of law? Sometimes difficult being an actor full time. I mean, if you're an actor working full time, it's fantastic because A, you're busy, and B, you're earning money.
Yeah,
but when I'm not earning as an actor, I do a little bit of law work and a bit of property work as well. So,
well, Morris, I was saying earlier, I was saying to Catherine, your gorgeous sister earlier on, I was speaking so highly of you. I was saying to Catherine earlier on that, like most actors, most actors can't make a decent living, to say the least. I was reading something from. Was it RADA?
Absolutely right.
Did a survey, and on average, not RADA, the Actors' Equity in the UK did a survey.
Yep.
RADA is the training school. Actors' Equity did a survey, and on average, their members worked for 8 weeks last year. 8 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Anything that. Especially, there's such a good tranche of them. You see, I know you're saying, Morris, and I remember this happened before in another movie, the one with Christopher Walken in it, set down in the west of Ireland. And I know a number of the Irish actors, because I got the usual, almost written by AI review of an Irish movie made by Americans, and it was about the Irish and the BJs and Bigara and all that carry on. And Chris Wasser is a very, very well respected reviewer. But it got those, and I know for a fact that a number of the Irish actors involved in, what was it called, the Wild Mountain Time, they were deeply upset. They were upset by the reviews. Now, I know you're living in London, Morris, but I've read out some of the reviews. I don't mean to be hurtful, but Shamrock's...
You're not going to hurt me, Joe. You're not going to hurt me with reviews. I mean, reviews are what they are. I don't look at them normally.
Yeah.
But... I appreciate exactly what you're saying, and there's a great industry in Ireland right now, the great film and television industry, and it's fantastic. Like, I watched Kin, for example, recently it's on the BBC iPlayer and the RTE player as well. It's wonderful. It's really,
great
really
acting.
Good, in
great.
Particular the second series.
Yeah.
But what happens a lot
brilliant
with...
Series, yeah.
It's wonderful. It really is excellent. But there's a lot of stuff which is not so good. And I think what they try and get at, like the guard, the cop has to be stupid. And I kick the nearest thing when I see that. It's that Irish paddywhackery, stupid cops and priests and all the rest of it. And I think, geez, we are more developed as a country and as a society than that, you know. And I think we have to get rid of that all guards are stupid stuff and start playing... And writing stuff, which is a bit more intelligent, you know?
Okay. And I'm just...
I'm not talking about Irish Wish, by the way. I'm just talking about cinema and television in Ireland generally.
Because I know now, obviously, Killian, you don't even have to get their second names anymore. Killian, Paul, Barry, Andrew, Jesse.
They're doing so well.
Saoirse.
They're doing so great.
And we know all them. They're brilliant. But they, like, they didn't. Well, Barry was in the precursor of
of kin, love, hate. That's what. But they've been around a long time, and it's great to see them. But even when the IFTAs were announced, the IFTA nominees were announced last week, and all I read was Killian, obviously, Barry, obviously, Saltbourne, Andrew Scott and Paul, obviously, Jesse,
yeah,
for that wonderful movie about the poison pen letters. And I remember I was listening to it the morning and I said, is there any up and coming names that need a boost? And it was only later on that day I discovered that Lisa Mulcahy, I don't know whether you've ever worked with Lisa, she's done work in the UK.
I haven't worked with Lisa.
Lisa Mulcahy made a movie called Lies We Tell. She made it on a shoestring. I know this for a fact. On a shoestring. Didn't get any of the big publicity. Got a load of actors who she obviously worked incredibly well with, the main one being Agnes O'Casey, the granddaughter of the great Sean O'Casey.
And that
has got, wait for this, that got 13 nominations at the IFTA Awards. Would you believe that? And it didn't, it's in the headline. I read it because Donald Clark wrote about it separately. It's called Lies We Tell. So I hope that does well. But again, that was a movie
well,
that was
made.
Isn't
it great?
Yeah.
Isn't it great? Yeah. And you've given all those names like Barry and Andrew and Killian and so on, and then Jesse and Saoirse. They're all doing so well. And it's great for us as kind of less well-known Irish actors who, you know, scrape a living. I'll come back to that in a second, the point I want to make about that. But it's great for us to see them do so well. I'm very, very proud to see Cillian Murphy with his Gurumahagiv Oscar acceptance speech. It's wonderful.
Okay, stay with us, Morris, because I want you to ask you that question about how you scrape a living after this break.
Sure.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Chris Wasser is the critic I mentioned there in the reviewed it in the Sunday Indo. Chris, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you?
Good. Was it really that bad?
Yeah, I mean, look, the funniest thing about this film is that it knows that it's terrible. And it's kind of embracing all of those oddities and all of those cliches and stereotypes that we've seen in other sort of, you know, Irish films and other sort of paddywhackery presentations like. So it's not going, you know, it's not trying to be anything other than what it is, you know. It's very much a Hallmark-esque presentation of Ireland.
Okay, well, Maurice Bourne was in it. He played the father-in-law. Maurice, did you know when you were making the movie that it was awful?
First of all, don't think it was awful. And I think the reviewer that you're speaking to there,
Chris Wasser,
has got it. Chris, hi, Chris. I think Chris's point is, how are you doing? I think your point is that it knows what it is. It's not trying to be a classic. It's not an Oppenheimer. It's not even trying to be. It's a bit of fun. And I mean, I view it as being very similar to Midsummer Night's Dream, which is, person gets bewitched, person gets unbewitched, and it all comes back to normal. And it's not supposed to be anything more than a bit of fun. It's not, it's, you know, we're not looking for any deep message. I think the girl that was on just before me called Fionnuala, Fionnuala said, it is what it is. Don't expect highbrow acting, and don't expect a classic which is going to come through with 100 different themes. It is what it is. It's a bit of fun. And take it at face value.
Chris, you say it's silly, rarely entertaining, riddled with dusty stereotypes. You say New York, as I pointed out to someone earlier, but they didn't realise it was Essex Street in Dublin.
Yeah.
The yellow cabs, the Manhattan, the film tells us this is Manhattan, but anyone who's paying attention will realise, it was just for that one scene, it's Essex Street around the back of the Clarence Hotel, and it gets worse. It gets worse. How does it get worse?
It's the problem I had with it was actually the storytelling. I think Lindsay Lohan used to make, you know, really snappy, really clever romantic comedies. And I didn't really find that the film was any of those things. And that's no offense to Morris whatsoever. Mm. I thought, you know, the charisma and the enthusiasm of all the supporting actors was great. But given the fact that so much money was being pumped into it, it would have been better had the screenplay been a little bit sharper. It would have been better had the lead actress been a lot better. I think, it, you know, Ireland does look beautiful in it, and I think these types of films are only as offensive as we allow them to be. And if you compare it to the likes of Leap Year, which was genuinely patronising, if you compare it to, you know, the root of the problem, you know, The Quiet Man, to Darby O'Gill, to Finian's Rainbow, it's nowhere near as offensive as that. It's actually quite harmless in its portrayal. You know, it as I say, it knows exactly what it's doing. I just think on a filmmaking level, it could have been an awful lot better. They could have, you know, they could have made it funnier. I think, you know, you could actually, I heard you say at the top of the show there that they might have missed the trick by not having more Irish actors out in front. I think actually you could have had the two love interests, you know, that they could have been Alexander Flowerhouse and Ed Spielers. I think you could have had maybe Irish actors in their place. I think they might have missed the trick there. It's just, I don't think it's worth us losing, you know, the rag over.
Okay.
But because as I say, it knows what it's doing.
But you think it'll be forgotten about by next week, Easter?
Oh, it will. We'll be giving it about something this time next week. Yeah, okay, or there'll be another. Or there'll be another film along like it. We've had Leap Year. We've had.
And what's your favourite movie of the year so far, Chris?
Of this year,
yeah.
Probably. What did I really like recently? American Fiction. Recently, they're nominated for Best Picture with Jeffrey Wright. Had a great time.
I watched that about based on the book by Percival Everett called Erasure, and he's a brilliant writer. Okay, Chris. Yep, Chris, thanks for coming on. Morris? Do you want to say anything to Chris? You being the film star, Chris being the critic. And don't.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a film star. I'm a supporting actor in it. I will take Chris's criticisms at face value and say that they are valid. But I'm not going to defend point by point. I think your previous speaker, who I understand is not a film critic, was absolutely right. It is what it is. It's a bit of fun, and let's enjoy it at that. And yes, it may be. It is for an American audience, of course. So that's the way, unfortunately.
And
we
I can
are
tell
seeing.
You, and Chris, Chris, this you probably expect this, but the overwhelming majority of our texts are positive about the movie. And one little thing I wanted, sorry, Chris, just one thing I want to know, Mars. You know, in Kilrudry, when the wedding and Dawn Branfield is there, and she looks up and there's this stained glass picture of herself. Was that real?
Yes.
Where I hope the stained glass
yes. window looked incredibly like Dawn Branfield. And yes. I remember.
And did she get it? I hope she got it at the end. Building. Did they give it to Dawn?
No, it's part of Kilrudry. It's part of the house.
But they definitely doctored it to make it look like the beautiful Dawn. They really did, seriously. I was just wondering did Dawn get it? Okay, Morris, go to Mila Malgood, Morris Bourne, Chris Wasser, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you to all our callers.
Go
to Mila Malgood, Damien Chanel's and Sound, John Riley Research, Owen McLaughlin produced. Thanks, Chris Wasser, again. And Ray Darcy's next.